This season, it's about a Savior being born to us, a Savior for you and a Savior for me. And we're in week three of our Advent series. The first week, we focused on the hope that Jesus brings. Last week, we focused on peace that he offers us. And today, we're going to look at joy, the joy that he brings. Next week, as was mentioned, we wrap up our series on love. So come on back to our Christmas Eve service if you're in town. So what is joy, and how do we experience lasting joy? Because I think it often, to me at least, it feels slippery, right? It feels like it's hard to hold on to. I feel like I have moments of joy that are interspersed with a lot of other feelings, right? So here's a picture of my family. My family is giving me a lot of joy. This is our Christmas photo. I know, it's so cute. They're so adorable. Love it. Love showing off my family. So one moment of joy was just about a week and a half ago. My wife and I were putting our little one, Tommy, to bed. And he gets kind of cuddly sometimes. I think he's delaying bedtime. And so he just kind of grabbed my wife, and he just started kissing all over her face. Like, if he wasn't a family member, I would have been a little upset. Just like over and over again. And she's like smiling and laughing, and I'm laughing, and he just keeps doing it. It was just this really like precious moment that I wanted to freeze in time and like multiply throughout the rest of my life. But that's not really possible, right? Because I think we all want to feel more joy and less pain, less sadness. No one likes feeling sad, I think. Maybe artists have that stereotype, right? But I don't think that's fair. I don't think they like feeling sad either. They deserve to feel joy too, right? But it's hard to experience lasting hope, peace, and joy in our world because it is so broken, and there is so much sadness and so much to feel sad about, as Andrew mentioned earlier. I think one example is just the recent explosion of exposure of sexual harassment and misconduct by men in positions of power and fame who have victimized so many women. And it started with the Harvey Weinstein scandal, and I'm personally thankful that so many women have been empowered to come forward since and been listened to for the most part. I think many of you are or will be in positions of power and influence and responsibility in the professional world. So let us all listen and look out for those that we're responsible for. I think especially us men, we need to look and to listen and to speak up in this day and age, as we always should have. And there's so much lost in just that one example, right? And that just scratches the surface of all the pain that we've seen just this past year. So let me pray, and I want to ask God's help on how we can still experience joy, the joy that he offers, that he promises us in his word. Jesus, I thank you for the gift of your son. I thank you for the gift of you. I thank you for coming to this place, leaving the security and the comfort of heaven to show us that we're worth it, to show us that we can still have hope and to ultimately die for us. I pray that you would bring joy to the brokenhearted today, this moment. Anyone who's here who is struggling to feel joy, maybe it's been a really long time, I pray that somehow, someway you'd bring them and help them feel your joy. I ask you for that in faith. Will you speak to us through your word? In your name, amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke 2. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to kind of walk through most of this chapter. Luke 2, we're going to start in verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all returned to their own and central towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. The journey was about a 3 days journey by foot or by, sitting on an animal at that time, which is kind of crazy to think about. Mary, who's 9 months pregnant at this time, going on a 3-day journey of that sort. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And I want to pause there for just a second. When our staff team, some of our staff team got the privilege of going on a trip to Israel about 5 years ago, and our guide took us to what would be kind of like a field and then a place where they would have animals stabled. And it was very different than what we picture, the normal Christmas scene with the nice stable and everything. And what he was saying is basically that most likely, you couldn't say for sure with absolute certainty, but most likely, actually the stable and where they placed this manger, which is another word for a feeding trough, was in a cave. Because it was completely secure. You didn't have to worry about animals getting in or out or being prey to other animals. And then the shepherd would, or the person who was overseeing those animals, would lay across the opening to the cave. And so he took us to this cave in Israel, which was just crazy. I mean, all the things we got to see that, like, right out of the Bible. And he just kind of painted the scene for us. Like, a cave is very different than, like, an open stable that we picture, right? It's very dark. And then, you know, just pictured animals that had been in and out for a long time. So it's very dirty as well, right? And there's a lot of droppings and very dank and probably smelly as well. And that's the scene that our Savior, God, enters the world in. It's pretty wild, right? It's just a complete picture of humility and of lowering and coming into our world from a position of a servant. It's you know, talk about from this place of darkness, right? A light, just a small light beginning to form, beginning to come, to bring hope and peace and joy and love. Let's continue our story. Luke 2, verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." This is like must be like one of the things they have in like Angel 101 class. Like, hey, humans, they're going to be really freaked out. So the first thing when they see you, just say, "Don't be afraid." It's like, if you look for it in scripture, it's like one of the first things angels say when they appear before people. "Don't be afraid," which I would appreciate if I was the shepherds. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy." Good news that will bring great joy to all people. That's the start of the message. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, another word for Christ, also means anointed. The Lord, the King, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. I just want to go back a verse, the part that's highlighted. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in the city of David. It is good news that brings great joy. Like I said, I think joy is so hard to hold on to, right? And I feel like as people, we do so much to try to feel just a little bit more happy. I think we go to things like possessions for happiness, maybe a shopping spree. I don't know if you've ever had a Christmas when you didn't get anything you wanted. That's happened to me. And it's like, it's this weird feeling of, oh, yay, thank you. And I feel kind of sad, but I feel guilty for feeling sad. It's just weird. And I think we binge on things too, right? To try to feel a little bit of happiness, whether it's TV or movies or scrolling on social media. We binge on things like video games, food and drink and work and comedy and books and magazines and accomplishments, financial success, the praise and attention of others, all to try to feel just a little bit more happy, right? And when that doesn't work, we go even farther and we try to numb, to not feel anything at all, usually in the form of some kind of addiction. But that can't be joy, right? That can't be lasting joy. It doesn't feel that way to me, at least, when I've tried to go to those things. I think the only thing I found, and I think what this passage is communicating, is that true lasting joy is found in the person of Jesus Christ. True lasting joy is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not in anything or experience. It's in a person. You see, when we're able to cling to joy, to Jesus, that's when joy becomes eternal. when we focus on Jesus, on his beauty, his majesty, his power, his love, his mercy, his justice, his grace, everything else falls more into place. Everything else is put into perspective. I want to read just a couple of quotes to you from John Stott, book Cross of Christ. They were just walking just through the beauty, the awesomeness of Jesus. And if you're a visual learner, I brought them so you can read along. That's kind of how I am. If you're a little bit more imaginative, like an artist, you can close your eyes and just kind of take these words in and just picture Jesus in your mind's eye. There was Jesus' attitude to people. He despised nobody and disowned nobody. On the contrary, he went out of his way to honor those whom the world dishonored and to accept those whom the world rejected. He spoke courteously to women in public. He invited little children to come to him. He spoke words of hope to Samaritans and Gentiles who were despised races by the Israelites. He allowed leprosy sufferers to approach him and a prostitute to anoint and kiss his feet. He made friends with the outcasts of society and ministered to the poor and hungry. In all this diversified ministry, his compassion, respect for human beings alone shone forth. He acknowledged their value and loved them, and by loving them further increased their value. He goes on to write, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. He renounced the power and glory of heaven and humbled himself to be a slave. He gave himself without reserve and without fear to the despised and neglected sections of the community. His obsession was the glory of God and the good of human beings who bear his image." That's you and me. "To promote these, he was willing to endure even the shame of the cross. And now he calls us to follow him, not to seek great things for ourselves, but rather to seek first God's rule and God's righteousness." I really like the way that author just laid out. These are just some of the things we can praise about Jesus. Just a few. Just kind of scratches the surface, I think. But man, when I look to that, when I can fix my eyes on who Jesus really was, everything else fades. The pain, the suffering, everything else becomes a little easier to walk through. And then joy begins to spring anew. A little light begins to shine in the pain and the darkness. I think it's why we have to cling to him with all we have, because that's where true joy is found. In the next part, what the angels say next ties in perfectly. Verse 13, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others." If the shepherds weren't freaking out before, now they're really freaking out. "The armies of heaven praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" I have no idea how loud this was. Like a host of angels all at the same time saying this. I'm guessing it was probably very loud, probably a little memorable. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And what I want to draw to this is that true peace is only found in God's undeserved favor. True peace is only found in God's undeserved favor. And I know I'm kind of backtracking a little bit to what we talked about last week, but I think these things, hope and peace and joy and love, they're all intertwined, right? They all connect. Another word, another translation for pleased is favor that they use. And what I want to express to you, and please, if you've heard this a few times or many times, don't tune this out. The good news that brings great joy is that Jesus has died for you and for me. He has taken once and for all of our sin, all of the things that we have to feel guilty about, and he paid for it on the cross. And if we accept that ultimate gift for him, that's why we give gifts in this season, is to remember this gift that he's given us. If we accept that gift with faith and repentance, we experience his grace, his undeserved favor. There is nothing that God holds against us, you guys, for all of eternity. It's great news. Have you ever noticed how, like, the end of a story, it greatly influences how you look at all the events beforehand, right? If you read a pretty good book and the ending is poor, you don't usually recommend the book, right? And even kind of the opposite is true. If the events are okay, but the ending, that climactic scene is amazing, yeah, you talk about that, right? I think it's kind of like another example is like when a relationship doesn't work out, right? It kind of colors all the previous memories. But when it does, those things become even sweeter, even the painful ones. Our most important relationship for all of eternity is completely secure. Completely secure, 100%. Nothing can change that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The end is already determined for you. It's going to be an amazing reunion with Jesus for all of eternity, where you get to experience being fully accepted, fully forgiven, fully in his presence and experiencing his pleasure. Psalm 16:11 puts it this way: "You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures." That's what we get to experience a piece of, a taste of here, this side of heaven, and fully once we're with him. As we've been talking about, the Advent season is to celebrate that first coming of Jesus, where he comes as Savior, Messiah, and Lord in part, and to look forward to his second coming when we'll get to see him face to face and experience him in full as those things. And whether he comes back first or we pass away first, we will get to see him face to face and experience deep eternal joy. And I think the only thing that, for me, as I was thinking about this, what could really illustrate this, it's this video. And I think you've probably seen videos like this, but I wanted to show it to you to give you a little glimpse. All right, like, you have to be moved by that, right? If your heart beats at all, you got to be touched and moved by that just a little bit, if not a ton. I love those videos. I, like, can't get enough of them. I was, like, trying to find one I wanted to show, and I, like, watched them for, like, an hour. It was good use of my sermon prep time. I love the surprise, right? Because when Jesus comes back, it's going to be a surprise. Or when we pass away, we don't know exactly when that day will be. It'll be a surprise too. And I love the joy on the faces, right? I think it'll be like that when we get to see him face to face. The joy, the tears of relief. It's going to be beautiful. This passage came to mind as well as I was thinking about this. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 9. It says, In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Like I said, that for a little while, you know. But that's true. This life is like, it's a blink of the eye. It goes so fast. And eternity is much longer. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, gold perishes, but your faith does not, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Next slide. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The end result of our faith is relationship with Jesus. It's getting to be with him. That leads to an inexpressible, I can't fully express it, right? And glorious joy that we find in him. Let's wrap up our passage and see what we can learn to apply from this. Verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the things that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I kind of wanted to fact check it. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. This is beautiful. And I just want to just point out three things that I think we can try to apply in this season. I want to challenge you to try to apply. The first is, I love that the shepherds share their story of Jesus. They like can't even help it. The shepherds, they just tell everyone that they run into after they find Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Everyone else they run into through the town and on their way back to the fields, they tell about what they heard and what they saw in Jesus. What's awesome about this, and like you have to kind of wonder why the angel chose shepherds, why God ultimately chose shepherds to reveal, to tell about Jesus first. In this culture, one, you know, shepherds, the fact that this was their profession, Israelites from the young age from 4 or 5 on would learn to memorize the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. Pretty crazy, right? And those that excelled, that did well at it, would get chosen by a rabbi to continue and further their study. And so these guys did not excel at that because they ended up continuing in their profession of being shepherds. Also, shepherds weren't trusted to give their testimony in court because they were viewed as untrustworthy because they all often confused, one commentary put it, what was mine and thine with how they pastured their sheep. They just kind of let them go wherever. And so I think it's kind of crazy that they are the ones who first get to tell about Jesus. Again, position of humility, right? And if it's kind of like the author saying, if shepherds can do it, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Anyone can tell about Jesus. And it doesn't have to be people who've never heard about him. I think I need to be told about Jesus very often and reminded of how much he cares and loves me and the joy he offers, and especially also to others. Will you do that? Will you look for opportunities to do that this season? Maybe it'll be at a hard moment with a family member. Maybe it'll be a tender moment with a friend in need. I also want to point out, I love that Mary, it says that Mary treasures and meditated upon her experience with Jesus, that she treasured it, and she kept it hidden in her heart and thought about it often. Will you do that as well? Will you take kind of the end of this year to look back and think about, how did I experience Jesus this year? What did he do in my life? How was I blessed by him? It can fill us with more joy just to remember. And then lastly, I really love how the shepherds, they praise and glorify God. They go back to do their work. They kind of go back to what, you know, is life for them. But they do it differently, right? They do it by glorifying and praising God. So will you do that as well? Will you do that this season and into next year? Will you thank God for all that he's done? Will you thank him for the little things and the big things? Will you look to bring glory to him with your life? I want to end with a story. It's about my kids again, because that's what I do. And so my oldest son, Joey, had an assignment at school, and it was this large piece of paper that was supposed to be like the front page of a newspaper. And he got like little parts and little headings that were started for him that he had to fill in the rest. And there's various different topics and stories. But one of the sections was, "My hero is." And he didn't write Jesus. That would have been pretty cool. But he wrote, "My hero is my dad." Which I'm kind of bragging a little bit now, I'll admit, which was really touching for me. And he wrote, my dad has taught me about God and taught me other things that I didn't know, taught me many things I didn't know, which I was like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. I experienced some beautiful joy in that moment, especially I felt like it was redeeming just because some of my stories involves a lot of pain with my own dad. But the thought I had a little bit later on, after I got off the emotional high, was that that ought to be the headline in all of our lives. And my hero is Jesus, right? That ought to be the headline that we have, that we hold on to and cling to, and we proclaim. My hero is Jesus. All that he's done for me, all that he's taught me, all that he's saved me from, saved me for. You know, will you let that be your headline this season and into the rest of your life, if it isn't already? My hero is Jesus and all that he's done. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for being our hero, for saving us from so much. Mostly, I feel like you've saved me from myself. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless and help us to know you more. And may this season not be about all the trappings in this world, but about you and about you and you alone. May we remember what you did for us on that cross. After you invaded this world and left the security of heaven to show us the way. You are so good and so beautiful and so worthy of all of our lives and praise. We pray these things in the power of your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to invite the prayer ministers to take their positions in the front and the back of the auditorium and in the balcony. And I just want to invite you, you know, if you haven't experienced joy in a long time, will you come? Will you be prayed over? We'd love to pray for you. And if you're worried or struggling in this season or going into this season, come. We'd love to pray for you. Even if we have to be here for a while, we don't have a second service today. So line up and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for as long as it takes, okay?